to the She Leads podcast. I'm your host, Adrienne Garland, CEO and founder of She Leads Media, a global media company dedicated to the advancement of women leaders and entrepreneurs worldwide. I'm also an adjunct professor at NYU and Rice University, where I teach on the topic of entrepreneurship. I'm a mom to two wonderful young men and married to my best friend from college. Join me each week as I dive into raw conversations with remarkable, uncompromising, and inspirational women entrepreneurs and leaders. My hope is that these conversations and their advice will encourage you to put yourself out there and gain the visibility that you and all women deserve. We're all about stripping away the sugar-coated conversations and moving boldly in the direction of our magnificent dreams. For far too long, women have been conditioned to soften their words, modify their actions, and show up in the world to conform to outdated at best and harmful at worst cultural norms and ideals. Why? To keep those who are outside of the power structures from gaining power, prestige, wealth, and influence. This has prevented women from being recognized and respected as the powerful leaders that we truly are. The She Leads podcast is here to shine the light on all the incredible women, to encourage us to show up, speak up, and showcase the amazing work we do. Speak with confidence about the innovative and transformational thoughts that we have, and celebrate the positive impact that we are making in this world, both personally and professionally. So let's do this. Let's lead. I'm so excited to welcome our next guest to the She Leads podcast. His name is Guillermo Salazar, and he's a renowned family business consultant and global speaker who brings invaluable insights into effective family business governance and communication, empowering enterprises for success. Welcome to the She Leads podcast, Guillermo.
Thank you very much, Adrienne.
Oh my gosh, I think I need another cup of coffee. But listen, hey, this is what it's about. It's not about perfection, right? So I'm so excited to speak to you today because we've been talking to a lot of different people on the She Leads podcast about finances and finance for women. There's so many different aspects that we need to be thinking about, whether it's educating ourselves, whether it's, you know, how do we invest for our retirement? How do we build wealth today? How do we improve our businesses and grow and scale our businesses? And this conversation is coming at finance from a little bit of a different angle that I love. I'm sure that there are people in the audience that are somehow involved in a family business. And there are so many different considerations when you are involved in that. You know, how are you involved? What is the planning for the future? What is, you know, the legacy that you want to leave? So this is what we're going to be talking about today. So Guillermo, can you kind of take us back, introduce yourself a little bit, and take us back to how you got into just helping people with family businesses from the beginning?
Absolutely, Adrienne. Thank you very much for the invitation. Yes, I'm devoted to help families in business because I come from a family business. Mm-hmm. I'm part of a family business that no longer exists. It was originally founded in Venezuela, where I come from. Right now, I live in Houston. And that was a family business related with the construction business. And eventually, all the situations in Venezuela made us close the company because there were no conditions for that. Mm. But even though I think that the environment was not a good one for our business, we still had some issues as a family that led us to not be prepared to be flexible enough to have the right decisions on what to do with the circumstances that we were facing. So saying that, in a moment of my life, I tried to look for a different way of understanding how these organizations and how the dynamics of the family impacted on the decisions of the business. Mm. So I started to make a MBA. And in one of the phases of the final work of the presentation of the final work of the grade, I found this family business issue. and I started to research, and I found that there is a huge number of family business in the world.
Yeah.
So as you mentioned, that probably most of your audience somehow is related with the family business, I can bet you that at least 75% are somehow related with a family business. And when I say somehow, it's because probably, let's say, okay, my father has a business, but I'm not involved in that. Yeah. But guess what? Probably you will inherit the ownership of that business somehow. And they, oh my God, yeah, you're right. So somehow I'm related with the business. Yes, you are related with the ownership somehow. Yeah. Maybe not today, but tomorrow. But your father have an option. What about if he decides to sell the business instead of giving it to you?
Mm.
So that's something that could happen. Or maybe he can say, okay, let me train my daughter to let her know how to be a responsible owner. I don't need her to run the business. I don't need maybe to manage the business, but I need her to be a responsible owner because this business is really making money.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of situations that we can find when we talk to people that say, I'm not related with the family. You are related with the family business, probably, somehow. Maybe your husband, maybe someone who is close to you, but the connection goes farther than just managing the business.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You're right. In thinking about it, as you were just talking, I'm like, well, I'm even involved in a family business because my husband has a business and my two boys at this point in their lives really don't want anything to do with it. So at a certain point, we're going to have to decide, you know, is this something that my husband sells or is this something that he maybe turns over to his partner's kids? And how does that all work? The other thing that I think might really resonate with people is, you know, just because it is what it is, you know, women tend to outlive men. And so if you are married to somebody who has a business and you're not involved in the day-to-day, this is something that you really need to start thinking about, you know, and things could happen at any time. You want to make sure that if you are faced with the situation of having to, you know, take over the business or even, you know, take it over so that you can close it down or sell it, you want to be prepared. So what are some of the things that you sort of advise people on? And do they come to you at a point where they're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do? Or is this something that you try to proactively start to have conversations like this with people that are thinking about, you know, sort of what to do should something happen or if they want to sell the business or retire?
Yeah, well, you know, at our company, at the business of consultancy, we really make a huge effort on trying to convince people to be prepared for situations like that. But I will tell you that 95% of the cases that we receive are people that are already involved in a situation that they need to make a decision.
Mm.
So be preventive is an option, but usually we don't do that.
Mm.
So what we try to help families that come to us with a situation that or a conflict that they need to solve is to ask them the real question, which is, do you really want to keep on going together? Because there are solutions that will help you to deal with the fact that maybe you are not capable of working together.
Yeah.
And solutions like, okay, let's split the company, let's sell the company, or let's close the company. Mm. And those are questions that it's important to do because some families tend to be or having a conscience that maybe the destiny of our family is to be together and run the business. And let me tell you, no, this is an option.
Mm.
And the more the time goes, the more I think that the concept of freedom for the next generation on their loyalty to the business of the family is something that is fading more and more.
Yeah.
So, for example, in my generation, it was hard for someone to say, I'm not going to work you, father. I'm not going to work you, mother.
Yeah.
But in this generation, I mean, the society is so different. So yes, there's an option that the family should explore.
Yeah.
So if they decide to go together as a family business and see the future as working together, that's another thing. And that's when we help them.
So let's take the role of being preventative, right? Because I think that you coming on this show and sort of letting the audience know that in some way, shape, or form, either you or maybe, you know, a relative is involved in a family business. And you really need to start having these conversations now because people don't live forever. What are some of the ways that you think that it's best to kind of bring up conversations like this? So that, you know, yes, of course, people are going to come to you and you want to help them, but what are some of the things that they could do to maybe, you know, start this process or at least this line of thinking so that they don't get to a point where they're like, help me?
Okay. So we think that there are three steps that the family should take if they say, yes, we want to keep on going together. Okay. The first one is that you have to improve your communication. Mm. There is always room to improve the communication. And why I say that? Because we are going to need our best skills to make decisions together. Mm. And for that, we need to really improve the way that we interact with each other. Mm. So the best way to do that is to know in yourself what are your preferences of communicating and knowing the other's one. Mm. The others who you really want to communicate with, to understand how do they prefer to communicate. Mm. So that will help us. Let's say that those are the bricks to create the building of the family business. Mm. And there are many ways to improve communication. There are courses, there are,
coaches.
Yeah, coaches. You have, mm-hmm. So we better start with that first step. Mm. The next one is that you should define what's the purpose of your family business. And when I talk about the purpose, I'm not talking only about thinking on the business, on what do we do on the day-to-day basis of our business. We are thinking about the legacy that you want to leave to the next generation. Mm. Why do you want to do this? What are you expecting for the next generation to get involved in somehow? What's the message that you want to transmit to your next generation?
Mm, I love
this
that.
This is how we define the purpose. Mm. How do a family find the purpose? It's an exploration. We have to start with recreating the history of the family. Mm. We need to understand what's our identity, what are the values that we share as a family business. And then we will find that if we want to let the history continue for the next coming years, we need to understand that those values are the same that are going to build the future. Mm. Saying that if we can imagine the kind of family, the kind of ownership, and the kind of business that we want for the future, we will find what are the elements that will inspire us and the next generation. And that is the purpose of what you are doing. Mm. So if you do that exercise in a, let's say, honest way, you will find a family that really is motivated to do what they are doing as a family business.
Mm, that is so amazing. And, you know, I want to just make sure, because the way that you're describing this almost seems like, well, gosh, this sounds like a really big family business to make these decisions. When you're talking about this, this can be any size business, correct?
Yes. I will say that size doesn't matter in this concept, but I think that time is the one that matters. Mm. We need time to, you know, settle some values, to let the business be a real enterprise in terms of giving value to the community, that people can identify the family reputation related with the business. And that takes time. It doesn't take size. So we are talking about maybe you need a business running for 10, 12, 15 years to say that we have the quality of value and relationship with the network that they need to build to really justify a purpose. Mm. So it's more related with that.
This is such a different thought and approach to a business than this. A lot of times when people start businesses, they are so wrapped up in the day-to-day and increasing sales and growing and scaling in their revenue and hiring people. And this really requires this exercise, these steps require the the business owner, the person who started it, to really step outside of the day-to-day and have a different perspective and even to envision their business as something that is a legacy. So it's a shift in mindset first and foremost, and then it's going, it's thinking about the business from an entirely different perspective. It's like moving from me and my business to like, okay, this is a separate entity outside of me as the entrepreneur. How do I want to care for this and treat this?
Mm-hmm. Right. Because we are talking about relationships that are very different of contractual relationships in the business. We are talking about ownership relations that they are different. I mean, having business partners, it's a kind of culture that we need to understand. And family relations that last forever. So that's a different dimension of understanding what's the relation with those that you are working with. So yes, that obliges you to think out of the box in that sense.
How do entrepreneurs who are like, I'm probably shouldn't call him out, but like I'm thinking about my husband, right? And he's had the business for, gosh, you know, 20 plus years. And our kids are, you know, in college, they're thinking about what they're doing with their future. And like I said, they want to forge their own path and do their own thing, which they should. And it doesn't mean that they'll never come back to the business, but they want to, you know, try to do whatever they want to do on their own, which is amazing. My husband is very much involved in the day-to-day, right? Like getting the work done and everything. But he also realizes that he's not 25 years old anymore. So how does, whether it's a wife, a daughter, or son, or someone who's just a really good friend, how do you sort of start that conversation? Like, hey, you know, you really need to start thinking about this, and here's why. Like, I would almost love, and I know you talked about communication, but oftentimes it starts with the entrepreneur. The company started with the entrepreneur controls the whole entire thing, and you know, they think they know best, right? How do you sort of get them to like slow their roll and do that power pause and say, hey, you know, this is something that you need to turn your attention toward now? You don't have to act right now, but you need to start thinking. What could be a really convincing argument to be able to say to them, stop what you're doing and listen?
Well, that's very hard, because although you can have the best argument, most of the founders of their business don't want to listen to that.
No.
Because when you talk about changing their role, there is a message that is involved with retirement.
Mm.
And retirement is the hardest part of being a founder of a business. So there are different strategies. Most of the persons that want to start talking about this could be open to listen to their own story. And one of the ideas that I usually try to share with my clients that they are open to talk about them is to guide them through the hero's journey template.
Mm.
So if they understand that they are the founders, the creators of the ownership, of the wellness of the family, and that they have a mission to accomplish, and that eventually that mission, once it's accomplished, you need to retire, because you need to return to your ordinary world and share all of the benefits that you have found in your magical trip. Then people start to understand, okay, I have a different role now, but I have my conditions. Of course, let's talk about it.
Yeah.
So what are the conditions that the founder usually try to negotiate with the family? Okay, I need a recognition, because all of I've been doing put me in a position of a special interest for the rest of the system.
Yep.
And I need you to receive the legacy I want to give you.
Mm.
But the legacy usually is more than just, you know, here are the keys of the business and here's my checkbook and do whatever you want. No, I want you to share what I have learned in this life. So Those are the conditions that usually they put. And if they are willing to do that, and I invite them to do to think about it, because this is your journey. Your journey has a start and an ending. And the more that you think about that you need to complete your journey in this final phase, the closer you are going to be to self-realization.
Oh my gosh.
And that's the way that usually I try to convince them.
This is a beautiful thing. I mean, I'm convinced. I really love bringing that aspect of a hero's journey and making the entrepreneur the hero of their own story and setting them up to be the one that's created these conditions for all of these people to thrive, right? It's like you put the entrepreneur at the very center of what's going on. And I love that it's like, this is a journey. There's a beginning, there's a middle with all the challenges, and then there's an end. And that's okay. And it doesn't mean the end of your life. It doesn't mean the end of your professional career. You can totally move on to something else. It's this part of the journey. And I just think I've never heard that before. Those two things being brought together is amazing. And I can see how even talking about that would shift an entrepreneur's mindset out of like, I got to grow the business, I got to keep going, I got to make money, into like, oh my gosh, there's a bigger purpose here. And that's what we're all seeking, right? We want to make an impact. We don't want to, on our grave, say, you know, they worked so hard. You know, we want to know that we have helped others in some way. And if our story can be the thing that helps other people, that's one of the most beautiful things in the world. So yeah. I love that. And I also just want to compliment you on what it is that you're doing, because it's clear to me that it's not all about maximizing the value of the company and selling at the highest point possible. It's so much richer than that. It's a full picture, and it takes into account the blood, sweat, and tears that the entrepreneur put into the business and why they did it in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's all about trying to be sure that the value of your business is not something that you are going to lose because you make the wrong decision at the moment of deciding, okay, I'm going to retire. Okay, I buy the idea of the legacy and everything and blah, blah, blah. What do I do with this? Mm. Okay, you have options. If you are good enough to tell your story and involve the next generation somehow, that they feel that they are part of this, and that makes an emotional connection with the ownership, you can consider to let them be owners of what you have created.
Yeah.
But you have to train them as owners. That's something that we never think about. How do I need training as an owner? I mean, if you are going to receive something, you will be responsible of that. Maybe you don't need to manage a business. Maybe you don't need even to be in the board, but you need to understand how financially a business behaves and what are the best decisions as an investor in that ownership that you have to do in order to make it grow in value.
Yeah.
There are trainers that help you to understand how to read the information, the financial information, how you can look for aid to make decisions on investments. Let's say that's the least that we expect for the next generation as owners, that you understand that you are the responsible, not only of a business, but also for employees or impact for, you know, everything that is related with the responsibility of a business. Mm. Or you can extend the invitation to consider to be part of the board. You don't have to be an employee of the business. You don't have to be in the day-to-day. But if you have enough information and if you have that emotional connection with the ownership, you are going to do the best for the direction of the business. Mm. So you can trade them to be in the board. That's the second level. And the third level would be our dream. Maybe someone is going to run the business as a CEO, because that person is not only an employee of the business, it's someone related with ownership and emotionally connected with the legacy. Mm. So there are different levels. But if we cannot do that marvelous project, you can sell the business always.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So that I think too, I mean, I think sometimes people see selling of the business as like the ultimate goal, right? Cash out, get millions of dollars, and then go jet around the world and lay on a beach somewhere, which sounds great. But I think sometimes too, that entrepreneurs can look at the sale of the business if they do have relatives that could possibly take over the business. They might even look at that as a little bit of a failure, right? That they weren't able to entice the family to continue the business. I think my husband thinks about that sometimes. He's sad that, you know, our boys aren't more excited about the potential for what he sees, but you know, you can't plant your vision in someone else's head. So I think there's a little bit of a disappointment there, but I don't think that selling of a business should, you know, necessarily be seen as a failure. It could be an opportunity for that entrepreneur to explore something else in their lives, right? Or to invest in another business that they happen to be interested in. So can you talk just a tiny bit about, you know, who are some of the, not by their names or anything, but like, who are some of the categories of people that come to you and the different directions that they decide to go in?
Well, it's all related in the generation of the leader of the business. There are first generation leaders that come to us and ask for this kind of advice we've been talking about. And it's always related with retirement. What do I do? What's the best option? Can you help me to decide which one of my daughters or sons are going to be the next generation leader? Or maybe do I have just to close the door right. and sell it? That's the first generation, the founders. Then we have the second generations, which is a different story because they have to learn to work together and decide together. Because on the first generation, there's only one deciding. That's it. There is no option
right.
to request a second option and a second opinion. But in the siblings society, we have to learn how to decide between different people. That's why communication is crucial
yeah.
to understand how to work. And the kind of conversation is different. It's more related with how to manage a business that is already running from the previous generation
yeah.
and how to grow, how to grow and how not to die,
yes.
trying to grow and not to kill each other because we have to, we have to learn to decide together.
Yeah.
And then we have another group of people that it's the third generation, which is less common. But in third generation, you really have a more professionalized company. And it's all related with more corporative decisions. And these people is looking for more the emotional part that can bind them together as a family and how to justify that they really want to be known as a family business because there are more related with the values that they share and not with the business and the wealth that they are earning. There are different, let's say, motivations in every generation that we can connect with them.
Yeah, it seems like it, in one way, it gets farther and farther away from the, you know, like the family ties and becomes a more professional, quote unquote, business. At the same time, that can last for generations and generations, depending on what the established values of that company are and what almost like the company requires that the values continue to be, no matter who it is that is sort of running the company. And until a business is sold to another concern, right, that should continue.
Yeah.
I love this so much because small business ownership, starting it it's so exciting. There are so many reasons why people would want to start it. And the ability to start a business today is easier than it's ever been. So I know that there are so many different considerations now, like maybe with some digital businesses, it doesn't have as much of a, you know, like a personal family connection. But I just think that this is something that all entrepreneurs at a certain point really need to start thinking about, asking questions, you know, researching, networking with others who are in a similar type of role so that they don't feel like they're alone in making a decision like this. What are some resources that you suggest? Like, let's say in the audience, you've got an entrepreneur that has her own family business and is thinking about how she passes it on to the next generation, or maybe, you know, there's somebody in the audience that they're involved in a family business. What are some resources that you suggest to just kind of get people, you know, thinking about this?
Well, I have a book that I wrote about all of this.
Yes.
You can find it in Amazon. It's A Road to Triumph in Family Business.
Love it.
Those are the steps that you have to follow. Yeah. Depending on the generation that you will identify your own family business, you will see what you need to do. But by the end of the day, it's all related with communicating, learning how to communicate, how to define the purpose, and how to set the rules. Because once you have defined that purpose, you need to define with the others what you can do and when you cannot. So if we want to reach that goal, there is a path that we have to walk together, and there are rules for that. So that's the final part that you need to set with your family if you have that purpose defined.
I love
this. So everything, you will find it in that book.
Amazing. This is so great. I cannot wait to pick it up. I'm going to get it as soon as we kind of hang up from here. If people do want to take the next step and, you know, just talk to you, have a conversation, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, I have a webpage. There is a single format that you can fill for communication. It's my name, GuillermoSalazar.com. I can send you the links for the podcast, but that's the best way to get
Beautiful.
Me. Or you can also go to LinkedIn. I'm very active there in that social media. So
that's amazing. We will put all of that in the show notes. And I just want to say thank you again for coming on the podcast and sort of opening our minds to other aspects of the entrepreneurial journey that we don't often think about, but it's certainly, you know, part of it. And for just educating us on all of the different considerations that we need to be thinking about when we're either, you know, involved in a family business or we've created our own family business. I really appreciate your time and your expertise. And thank you so much for being a guest on the She Leads podcast.
And thanks again for the invitation, Adrienne.
This and all of our episodes are brought to you by the She Leads Podcast Network, the podcast network for women by women. Thanks so much for listening to the She Leads Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support us, please share it with others, make a personalized post about what you took away on social media, and please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. This helps our guests and our show to continue to gain visibility and traction. To learn more about how She Leads Media helps women to gain visibility, you can follow us on Instagram at She Leads Media, or you can head on over to SheLeadsMedia.com. If you'd like to network with me and other amazing women, don't forget to join us each year for the She Leads Live conference. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon. The She Leads Podcast Network.